Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America.
God love you. 9.5 million turkeys. I tell you what, that's like some of the countries I've been to. Anyway, you want to talk?
This has been the President of the United States of America. May God have mercy on our souls.
Stu does America.
BlazeTV.com/Stu is the place to go to subscribe to Blaze TV. Do it. Just do it right now. Why not? Use the promo code Stu. You'll save $10. If you're on YouTube, this is the time to like this video right now and tell the robots that make the algorithms that other people should see this material as well. It always helps us do that. Follow the show as well. Tomorrow is the day we're going to be doing a Q&A, maybe a pre-Thanksgiving Q&A. Talking about the election and whatever else you want to talk about on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. I'm going to do it pretty much immediately after the radio show. Don't miss it. Pat Gray is going to be here for a pre-Thanksgiving news roundup. Joe Biden picks a familiar scapegoat to blame inflation prices on. But we start by doing the attack of the unions. Unions always have such a positive influence in our country. Never done anything bad, that's for sure. Never been any corruption or negative policies associated with them. But yes, they are on the attack right now. There's this idea that maybe the fact that we've kind of moved away from being a union country has been something that we've all sort of acknowledged. We've seen the rise of the right to work state. We've seen those states outperform union states by large margins economically, and the country's sort of moved away. The percentage of people in a union at this point is as low as it's been in a very long time. The left doesn't like that. They're trying to reverse it. And so they've been trying to promote union causes. Of course, the left still continues to kiss the butt of every union because they are massive, massive donors. They fund the political operations of the left. But what's frustrating about this is how all of this plays out, how the media puts all of us directly in the crosshairs at the behest of the unions. This happens over and over and over again. Let me give you an example of this. Let me give you some pre-election coverage of Joe Biden and the unions. And you're going to notice a minor line here, I think, right around Election Day. Just a tad of a difference here. This is pre-election coverage. Ready for it? Failure wasn't an option here. How Biden navigated a political and economic minefield at a critical moment in rail negotiations. This is September 15th, just weeks before the election would take place. Biden pushed railways and unions to be creative and flexible to reach a deal and avoid a shutdown, says the White House, which we're supposed to take as a totally neutral source on what went on with this story, I guess. Okay, wow, Biden really did a great job here. How did he do it? Well, he did it this way. The U.S. rail labor deal hammered out over sandwiches and baked ziti. This is the sort of coverage Joe Biden received. And this is a big deal. The rail strike would be a disaster for the economy. It would be very, very bad. You may know this, but we tend to transport a decent amount of goods, chemicals, fuels, base elements all around the country on rail, not to mention commuters in certain parts of the country. I used to do it every single day, almost like Joe Biden. You know, he's logged 2 million miles on Amtrak, and he talked to somebody on the train named, what was it, Ange? And Ange said, hey, Joe, you've gone 2 million miles on Amtrak. And he said, thanks, Ange, I appreciate it. Of course, we're not actually having this conversation because I'm lying about it. And the reason we know I'm lying about the conversation is because you've been dead for multiple years. That's actually true. He He claimed and bragged about a conversation he had with Ange when Ange had already been dead for a while when he said he had the conversation. But that's just typical Joe Biden. The point is, Joe Biden navigated a crisis. He solved the crisis. He pushed him with baked ziti to make sure everyone could come to the table and have a wonderful negotiation. That's the kind of guy Joe Biden is. So, what sense would you make of the post-election rail union coverage? Let me give you a taste of that. Largest freight rail unions split on contract vote, raising strike concerns. No. Guys, the ziti. Remember they had the sandwiches and the ziti? They got together, sandwiches, ziti. They had a deal. Remember, failure is not an option. Maybe they just didn't. They didn't understand. What about this one? The latest rail deal turned down by fourth union. Four of them. With a strike looming, railroad unions and management head back to the negotiating table. Did they just like the ZD so much? Is that why they're going back to the negotiating table? They're just so pro-ZD that no one can imagine being able to have a conversation without such delicious Italian food associated. What's the actual reason here? See, there was never a deal. There was no deal. There wasn't a deal before the election. The media all came together and parroted the White House line that there was a deal. However, no one had voted on the deal. And when they did vote on the deal, four different unions said, hell no. They didn't want nothing to do with this. So now, after Joe Biden has had all the accolades for getting the deal done, then goes through an election where he outperforms expectations, now they let us know that there was no deal, and actually, sorry, so sorry, there might be a strike. Now, we are in the midst of a tough time economically. You may have noticed this. Inflation is going through the roof. You may have noticed this. You may have noticed that we are in a tough time when it comes to our pocketbooks. So, would this be a big deal for our economy? We're talking about $2 billion of goods that go through rail lines every single day, $2 billion hit to the economy for every day they would go on strike. They may go on strike now because there never was a deal. That was all BS the entire time. Now, one thing that's important to understand is, yeah, there's a lot of unions involved in this, and many of them have agreed to this. However, four of them haven't. And you might say, well, who cares if only four of them, I don't know, if there's more that do agree, what's the big deal? The problem is, if even one, they don't need all four, if even one of them holds out and says, we're not going along with this deal, all of the unions have to strike in unison. That's the way this works. They're standing together. They're unions. They're not thinking individually. We've encouraged them to think collectively. So if one of these unions says no, four of them have already, if one of them continues to say no, then we get a strike as early as December 5th. You may note that that's pretty close to Christmas time. So, sorry, kids. No presents under the tree this year. Sorry about that, you know, and I'm going to tell my kids that, honestly, whether the rail thing happens or not. Sorry, kids. No tree, no presents. Bah humbug. This is kind of a big deal, right? When you're in the middle of an economic crisis, you're on the verge of economic catastrophe, it feels like, and you've got the holidays right around the corner, a rail strike would be a very big deal. But not only did Joe Biden not have to pay a price for not being able to push this through. Instead, he got the benefits of it. They just told you the truth after the election. That's nice and convenient, isn't it? How do unions get away with this? They do it all the time. Why do unions never receive any of the blame for these problems? You know, the media treats them as if they're always the positive actor. It's the worker versus the evil capitalist. The evil capitalist wants to run his business with things like profit. I can't believe those bastards are motivated by profit. Only a bad person would be motivated by profit. Good people are unions. They just are asking for basic things. They just want more pay and more time off and all of the benefits and perks of living like Elon Musk. Well, you don't always get that. You know, work kind of sucks sometimes. You got to show up on time. You got to show up and do your job. And sometimes it's not the most rewarding thing. Sometimes it's not all that pleasant. Believe me, I work here. And I work with people like Jeffy. So I know work can be very, very difficult, but that doesn't mean I unionize. No. I take my job seriously. I come in and I do it. And then I get the heck out of here before Jeffy can talk to me in the hallways. That's the way America's supposed to work. Now, I will say that they are not the only union out there. Here's a union that is able to basically hold us hostage with our economy. And as we approach Christmas, in the middle of teetering on the brink of economic catastrophe, no blame goes to the unions whatsoever. And they won't get any punishment if this stuff goes down. There will be there's no recourse against them. No one, there's no media reports that say, wow, the unions really screwed us on this one. That doesn't happen. That never happens. In fact, we have a good example of it never happening. Over the last couple of years, we've had a situation where the American people have been up against a union. In fact, our entire future has been up against a union. And the union has held the line over and over and over and over and over and over again with almost no blame from the media whatsoever. That union, of course, the teachers' union, who said over and over and over and over again, they did not want kids going back into school. They wanted to stop them. They wanted to force vaccination on them. They wanted to mask them. They wanted them to stay home so they didn't get the teachers sick. After all, the teachers just wanted to be safe. And, you know, I could go back, of course, and find a million different varieties of this conversation that happened in 2020 and 2021, where, you know, places like Texas had everybody back in schools. Florida's had their kids back in school. But teachers' unions all over the place in blue states were saying, no, we can't do that. It's too unsafe. It's too risky. We're very nervous about this. We can't. We'll let them back in when we're safe. So I said, you know what? Let's not take the low-hanging fruit. Let's look for something where the teachers' unions were actually saying they wanted to mask children in 2022. 2022. Could that possibly be a thing? Could it possibly be a thing that, what, 2+ years after the pandemic really kicked into gear, long, long after most of the red states had their kids back in school unmasked, could they possibly still be talking about this in 2022? Here is Randy Weingarten. She is, of course, the president of the American Federation of Teachers, talking about in 2022, February 9th, 2022, talking about masking kids in schools.
What Dr. McBride just told us about masks not particularly being effective for children, what's the argument against taking off masks in schools?
Well, the argument is that let me just say this.
Uh-oh.
I am in favor of an off-ramp on masks.
Off-ramp.
The real issue becomes
is the spread
low enough so that there's no dissemination or transmission in schools?
Oh,
and
just
it's
no,
not
no transmission?
The teachers transmitting to kids.
No.
It's more kids and kids,
kids and
particularly
kids
in elementary schools right now. And so the question really becomes, do we have, that's why I like what Massachusetts has done, because what they've said is that on a school by school basis, they said if there's 80% vaccination rates, then those schools can lift the mandates.
No, there you go. I mean, there's more problems in there than we can possibly address, but you get the point here. In 2022, they're still talking about this, still talking against. I mean, she was directly answering the statement of a doctor who said it doesn't do anything. And she said she wanted to get an off ramp from masks. Where's that off ramp? And the off ramp to her is all we have to do is find out that there's no transmission in school. Well, obviously, that's an impossible hurdle to hit. You're never going to be able to clear that. That's an impossible standard. No transmission. Of course, there's going to be transmission. That's just part of the world right now. The fact, of course, being that kids don't seem to have any natural problems with this, thankfully. I mean, that's been one of the few blessings of the era of the pandemic. The bottom line here is that unions, there are some arguments that, you know, that people like about unions. They like having some way to push back against an unfair employer. They, you know, people like the idea of unionizing because it seems to give the workers more power. And you know, there was a time where maybe people could make that argument. You should, of course, be allowed unless it's a public sector, which is a real problem. But you should be allowed to try to form a union if you wish, if your laws permit it. Sure, go for it. But the bottom line is it doesn't help the workers. It doesn't help the people buying the products. And it certainly doesn't help our kids to be put at the other side of these constant attacks by the union, because the union is thinking of itself. It's what it's designed for. It's not thinking about the students. It's not thinking about the economy. It's thinking about itself. That's what it does. And you know what? Even the hero like Joe Biden can't come in and fix it. Unless, of course, it's before the election. Then he's a miracle worker. Afterwards, we find out that he couldn't do it at all. You know, capitalism is always the big enemy to our country, which is bizarre to me. I mean, we're talking about a country that has benefited more from capitalism than any country has benefited from any public policy in human history. And yet it's constantly the enemy. Capitalism has given us so much bounty and so much success over the years. And it's incredible that we have to sit here and look at this and say, wow, well, you know, these oil companies, they're evil. But you know what? The unions, though, they're absolutely fine. Look, these unions have done a lot of damage, and they will continue to do. If we go through this rail strike, this is going to be a major, major problem. It's possible the government could force them to stay at work. This has happened from time to time over the years. We'll see how that plays out. But the bottom line here is that unions are a major problem, and unions wind up costing the American people inordinate amounts of money and time and hassle, and in this particular case, education, where we've taken millions and millions of kids and set them back by a generation, largely at the behest of what teachers' unions demanded. Ridiculous things like no transmission of COVID-19 in schools. It's never going to happen. You're never going to be perfectly safe. Nobody is. It's just one of these things where we're going to have to sit back and be honest about it. And it would be nice if we could get honest coverage to fuel that conversation. Instead, what we get is a celebration of Joe Biden and all of his massive abilities to negotiate over sandwiches and ziti. There's no amount of sandwiches and ziti that can solve this problem. Inflation continues to be a plague on our economy, our families, our savings, and the irresponsible spending from the left is not going to get any better. This year, we witnessed almost every kind of negative economic record, from, you know, empty grocery store shelves like we're living in Venezuela, to 40-year high inflation. Don't let your savings wither away. You can hedge against inflation with gold from Birch Gold. Text STU to 989898 and get your free info kit, diversifying into gold. Plus, you can become eligible for a free gold bar with every purchase you make through December 22nd. I mean, I don't know. Santa likes cookies, but probably you'd like a gold bar instead, so you can leave that out for him instead. With almost 20 years experience converting IRAs and 401ks into precious metals IRAs, Birch Gold can help. Now, don't allow the left to devalue your savings. Do something about it. Text STU to 989898. Claim your free info kit from Birch Gold. You can own physical gold and silver in a tax-sheltered retirement account, and Birch Gold will help you do it. Once again, text STU to 989898. Claim your free info kit on gold and ensure your eligibility for a free gold bar with every purchase. Secure your future with gold from Birch Gold.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
Joined now by Pat Gray, host of Pat Gray Unleashed, right here on Blaze TV. Also hosting the radio program with me this week, Pat Gray. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here, Stu.
I'm glad you are.
Yeah, me
it's
too.
It's been such a long time since the radio show this morning.
It's been at least 3 hours.
Something like that.
Four, five.
Wow, a lot. Some
six,
hours. And
some
you've
hours.
Totally changed as a person. I barely
well,
recognize
I'm liberal
you.
Now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's fascinating.
Probably going to be a surprise to people.
Yeah.
I've completely changed my mind. I mean, it's been that long since the radio show.
The radio show tomorrow is going to be interesting
if
you're liberal.
Yeah. Well, won't it?
Well, don't miss it. It's going to be a wonderful reveal to the radio audience tomorrow morning. Let's start with the election. We had you on before the election with sort of an election preview. We were both pretty optimistic as to what might come.
Yeah.
Do you look at this as an utter catastrophe, a disappointment, not that bad?
As an utter catastrophe at first, because it was so disappointing that we didn't get the Senate back. I now look at it as a disappointment. Because, you know, the House is a pretty good win. I mean, there was a time a year or so ago where we weren't expected to get any of it. Republicans weren't
in the summer of this year.
Yeah,
that was the case after Dobbs. It really looked for a while that that was going to turn
true.
Around. Yeah,
yeah, and they were making a big fat deal out of the fact that, you know, because of abortion and January 6th, Republicans couldn't win it. But to get the House back, that's a big deal, and they'll be able to stop certain legislation. I mean, if they have any giblets. I'm not convinced Republicans do have giblets, but I'm hopeful.
Mm. You know, another thing, too, which has been maybe underplayed, we sent Nancy Pelosi packing.
Yeah, I love that.
She's gone.
Love that.
I mean, she's still going to be in Congress, but she's gone from leadership and gone from House Speaker. That's a big deal.
It is. It's a really big deal. Now, is Kevin McCarthy going to be a wildly fantastic Speaker of the House? Probably not. But he's already made some motions as if he's going to do good things, like removing Ilhan Omar from her committee seat and Adam Schiff and Swalwell. Eric Swalwell no longer in the Intelligence Committee. That should have happened, 3 years ago when we first heard about Fang Fang?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And Eric Swalwell and intelligence are oil and water. They cannot mix. They cannot be near each other. There's no intelligence there. That is kind of odd that we would have someone who slept with a Chinese spy in our
intelligence committee
apparatus in any fashion.
Yeah.
It's odd, isn't it?
It is odd. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You wouldn't think a superpower would be OK with that. You might think the Republic of Congo is okay with that.
Yeah.
But not probably here. Not even them.
I was interesting on the Pelosi. It was interesting to me on the Pelosi thing. You got the typical liberal send-off, right? This, the first woman speaker broke the glass ceiling. Incredible control of her constituency and all of these wonderful things. They made her sound like the greatest politician of all time. Mm-hmm. But one thing, thinking back at her reign, when she started out as House Speaker, she was really incredibly liberal, even for the liberals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she has not changed. But I think you'd put her maybe in the middle of the party now.
Yeah.
On the left. Like, she's no longer near.
Yeah, the
what
party
would say, like the squad and all these people.
Yeah. And I think that the squad and all of those people are probably very happy that she's going away. Because, you know, now she's left leadership of the Democrats open now. And I guess the expectation is that younger people are going to take over. I mean, younger people to them is, you know,
78.
Yeah. Biden is a younger person.
Yeah, that's right. Biden is younger than Pelosi, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's incredible. They're going to, looks like maybe Hakeem Jeffries will be the guy.
Yeah. And he's 52 or something?
Yeah. He's in his 50s. A known election denier.
Yeah,
a guy who has said over and over again that the 2016 election was not legitimate. I mean, there's no real. They don't actually care about election denial.
No, I mean, Hillary Clinton, Hakeem, I mean, Pelosi. They've all denied the 2016 election at some point, right? And it's only that because they're Democrats, I guess, that it's okay. It's okay to deny elections as long as nobody ever said anything about it when it was them doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They did it for, you know, 4 years. They did it the whole time Trump was in office. And they did it back in 2000 with George W. Bush. So every time a Republican has won in the last 2 decades, they've denied the election.
Every election I've ever voted in that they lost, they have said was stolen. 2000, 2004, 2016.
Yep.
This is what they do. And they will do it again. People are like, oh, well, now that they've made such a big deal about election denial, they can't go that well. They don't care. They'll just reverse themselves. And the media will say, well, of course, election denial is bad, but this one's real. This is really what happened this time. They've got a really good argument this time. And this is one, just throwing this out here as a worry of mine. 2020 happens. And, you know, the election is, you know, goes through its process. There's a big fight in the court afterward about who wins, who loses. The lawsuits don't go Trump's way. The election gets, goes down the road to being certified on January 6th. And Trump's argument is, hey, Mike Pence, you can overturn this thing. Now, I know neither of us bought that argument constitutionally.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why just out of pure selfishness, it would be a really bad thing to have the vice president who just lost the election with the ability to overturn the election. Like, that right. would just be fundamentally a really bad thing.
Right.
Now, we are sitting here facing this as a real possibility. Yes, they said over and over again, the vice president can't do this. And of course they can't. And I think it would be overturned in the courts if someone attempted it. But we are now in a situation where we had two years of full Democratic control, where they could have easily blocked and said, once again, to be clear, and there was a bill to this effect, to be clear, the vice president can't overturn the election if they lose. They didn't pass it.
Wow.
Never made it through the House. And now we're 2 years away. And I think this should be a high priority.
It should.
Let's get this. Again, I don't think it will go through the courts, but we should clarify this just in case anyone thinks the vice president could do this. Because if you don't think in a close election, they'll have Kamala Harris attempt it.
They will.
They will.
I mean, the little document called the U.S. Constitution should probably be enough, because there's no provision for that in the Constitution.
No.
But it would be nice to codify it in law, as they continually say. So that probably would be a smart move, just to be sure, just so we don't have some kind of constitutional crisis.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like you're going to.
No, it doesn't.
Not between now and 24.
And of course, if they actually cared about all the stuff that they claim to care about, this would be their first priority.
Yeah.
Their first priority. All right, let me move over to more important things. The National Football League.
Okay.
The Eagles, as you know, 9-1.
I haven't heard. Really? Oh, wow.
And I mean, look, should be 10-0, except a couple of bad calls, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, whatever. 9-1 is pretty good. I'm excited
about
it. Green Bay, I mean, did you watch the Thursday night game? Aaron Rodgers
looked like... Fortunately, I did not.
He didn't look like he'd played quarterback before. Is this the same guy?
I don't understand his demise this year. He was the MVP last year.
And the year before.
And the year before. 2 years running. Yeah. And now all of a sudden he can't play football anymore.
How?
Very bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I don't know if his head's not in it. You know,
secret vaccination, Pat. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Secretly vaccinated.
Right. Is that what it was?
Yes. Oh, that must be it.
Oh, man. But... You know, a lot of times when people sign massive, massive contracts, and he's making, what, $50 million now? It seems like they lose their, I don't know if it's they lose their drive, or they become complacent, or I don't know. Maybe that's what happened to
him
this
year. He's a weird guy, too.
He is a weird guy. Yeah. Not my favorite guy.
Yeah.
One of my favorite quarterbacks. Not my favorite guy.
He's, if not the greatest quarterback of all time, he's up there.
For sure. Top three, probably.
And he has not performed in the clutch the way that you'd want from the Joe Montana.
One Super Bowl championship is all he's going to get, it looks like.
And that's pathetic,
it's
honestly.
It's kind of sad.
Considering his talent level.
Since it's, what, 2008, 2007? That's a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. I thought it was 2010, but it was a while
ago. Yeah, his Super Bowl was.
Oh, okay.
But he's been starting for the Pack since... 2007, I think
it was.
That's
incredible. And look, he's as you mentioned, he's been really, really good.
Yeah.
Even very recently. They're, 4-7 now? It doesn't look like they're going to make a playoff. They could squeak in, maybe. It would be tough.
It could be 10-7. Get in with that.
Yeah, could they get in with 9-8, possibly? You'll see. It would be tough. It would be tough in the NFC. But what I think is kind of interesting is, like, when he was going to come back, he was going to be gone in this offseason. And then all of a sudden he came back, and I thought to myself, okay, they must have made a commitment to him. We're going to give you all the resources you need. We're not going to let you sit back there and, you know, not have no one to throw to. And then, like, 2 days later, they just trade Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
What is this?
Not good. Hmm. I don't know. They've been doing that, though. They've been doing that for a few years now. Everybody he's got, every weapon he has, they seem to trade.
Yeah.
And, you know... It pisses him off. They don't seem to care.
Did he not know about this trade that was in the works?
I mean,
did they really sign him and then trade his number one asset a couple days later without telling him? That's incredible.
I think the speculation is that he signed such a big contract that Devontae Adams couldn't be signed anymore. I mean, they didn't have any money left for anybody else.
Yeah.
So they let him go.
Yeah. And again, that kind of points to him being kind of a weird guy. Like,
yeah.
Now, look, everybody wants $50 million. It's not that weird.
How many times did Brady sacrifice contracts?
Especially this late in your career.
Right.
You know, if you're on year four, you're not sure. I can understand taking the money. down the road this far, what, you know, yes, look, a lot of money is a lot of money, but he was going to make $30 million anyway.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It's hard to understand. Let me go to one other part of the NFL, which is a little bit more uncomfortable for you. I am on a couple of group text chains with a bunch of fans of the New York Jets.
Oh, really?
And it
doesn't look good right
it
now.
It has turned apocalyptic on Zach Wilson.
Yeah. In fact, his coach, Robert Saleh, is not committed to starting him this weekend. And so he said they're looking at all options. And so I fully expect somebody else to start.
Like Mike White?
Mike White or Joe Flacco,
yeah,
or whoever.
Because they're a pretty good team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're a great. I mean, they've got a great defense.
Yeah.
I wish the Packers had a defense like that. So, yeah, if they had an offense, they'd be unstoppable this year.
We got about a minute left. What is going on? Because he was great at BYU.
He was.
I was very high on him coming out. You know, partially on your word. You watched every one of his games, watched every one of his passes. Mm-hmm. You know, what is happening? Why is he unable to do this so far?
I am not certain. I thought at first, last year I thought, well, he doesn't have any weapons.
Yeah, team wasn't good.
This year, I don't think that's the case.
I think he's got some weapons.
And he's just not there. It's really sad.
Was it one of those things where you take someone who maybe isn't used to a New York City spotlight and put them in the middle of that?
That could be part of it.
Another
part of it is, he lost his girlfriend. You know that, because he slept with his mother's best friend.
Is that a true story?
I don't know. He's never denied it.
So he had a girlfriend and he slept with who?
His mother's best friend.
His mother's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's
quite... maybe that threw him off a little bit. I don't know. The NFL loved him for it.
Yeah.
They were calling him the GOAT for a while.
Yeah.
It's
weird what you get praised for in the NFL.
But, you know, in reality, as I think back on it, his big year was 2020, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when BYU didn't play that great a schedule. There was no P5s on the schedule. I mean, we played Boise State and Houston and some other decent teams and blew them out. But they didn't play the schedule that they played last year or this year, certainly. And maybe he just looked better than he was.
Well, we got to leave it there. We've got a lot of football coming up on Turkey Day. It's going to be very exciting. Pat Gray Unleashed. Watch his show every day. Don't miss it. Subscribe. It's right here on Blaze TV as well. BlazeTV.com/Stu. Pat, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
So Thanksgiving is just around the corner. And what does that mean? You're going to be spending a lot of money on food. It's expensive to do the whole Thanksgiving thing. And, you know, people are looking at the prices right now and they're looking at the grocery store and they're saying, holy crap, this isn't worth it. Like, I feel like I'm going out to a fancy meal and instead I'm having to do all the work. Well, why am I participating in this nonsense? So now... apparently, people are actually making a difference, making a different choice here, and they are starting to now go to restaurants for Thanksgiving. We're seeing it explode, said Brendan Sweeney, a CEO of Pop Menu, a tech company that handles online orders for restaurants, tracking mom and pops with as much as $65,000 in advanced food orders. Instead of doing it at home, they're doing it on the road. Why? Well, the cost of food at restaurants has still increased 5.8%. However, it's 9.8% for groceries. So it's going up even faster for you if you want to cook at home. If you're lazy, if you don't want to put in the work, if you just don't want people over your house, great time, great excuse. I'm so sorry. You know what? Actually, prices are going up so fast on groceries. We should just go out. It's going to be a lot better. Meet me at the restaurant and then go directly home. It's an easy thing to say to people. They say that it's not cheaper per se to go out and eat, of course, but it is so much closer than it used to be that people are just like, well, why am I going to put in all this work? I mean, it's a lot of work. We do a family Thanksgiving every year at my aunt's house, and she puts in the amount of work she puts into this, it's insane. I mean, I've never been so dedicated to anything in my entire life. And of course, the food's really, really good. But like, I kind of understand the idea of just being like, well, you know what? I don't want to clean it. I don't want to go through the hassle of cooking it all and going through all the recipes, the whole probably week of work and lead up and grocery store trips and all that stuff. How about instead, I meet you at Denny's. They've got Grand Slam breakfasts. Pop down a couple of those. You want two? How many do you want? Three? Four? You have as many eggs as you want. Just pile them on the plate, jam it down, get back in your car, and go the other direction. That's the holidays. So be prepared. By the way, if you were worried about why prices are so much higher, you might say, Joe Biden, a typical conservative, to sit here and blame our wonderful president and all that he's done for you, when you know the real answer to the question is, of course, the Putin price hike. Yes, that's right. The USDA is blaming Russia. It's amazing. For the rising price of Thanksgiving dinner, they say that they're the ones that are making it go up 20% this year. Do you remember back in the day? I like bringing this one up. I think it was July 4th, 2021, when we were told, actually, guys, the price has gone down 5 cents for a barbecue, down 5 cents, and you should celebrate. The president of the United States is no small thing that the prices have gone down 5 cents. Everyone's like, well, first of all, it is, by definition, a really small thing that it's gone down 5 cents. But also, it hasn't gone down 5 cents. It's gone up. And of course, that has been true. Those are the back in the days when they used to tell us inflation was merely transitory. No big deal. Don't worry about it. It's transitory inflation. Well, didn't get to be so transitory. In fact, we're still dealing with it at a high, high level. So thank you so much, Joe Biden. By the way, tomorrow we're going to go through a bunch of election stuff and whatever else you want to talk about on a special YouTube Q&A. This happens tomorrow right after the radio show. Join us there. Go to youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Follow the show. You'll see, if you press the little bell, it'll give you an alert when we start our broadcast. We'd appreciate you doing that. Any questions that you might have, we'll go through as many as we can tomorrow, right after the radio program, get you set for your conversation points as you go forward here into the Thanksgiving weekend and have to deal with a bunch of people who are probably going to be telling you all sorts of crazy things. Back in a second. You know, buying or selling a home is already one of the most stressful things you can do. And it's a lot worse if you have a terrible real estate agent. Generally speaking, our homes are our biggest investments, and that's a lot of responsibility. You need an agent who can take it seriously. That's why we always talk about realestateagentsitrust.com. This is a company that Glenn started years ago to make sure your experience can be as good as anybody else's. Why do only those fat cats get good real estate agents? You can have them too. You can have the agents with the best results in your area just by going to realestateagentsitrust.com. Don't trust your friend's friend's friend. Don't trust your vibes. Instead, trust a system, a proven system, to get you the best real estate agent in your area. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Go there, get some basic info, and they will make an introduction to their preferred agent in town. It's realestateagentsitrust.com, realestateagentsitrust.com.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
We've been talking a lot about the student loan debacle, where they've been trying to basically go around Congress unconstitutionally and give back a bunch of student loan debt that they can't give back. This is an obvious ploy, fitting with the theme of today. Tell people a bunch of stuff they want to hear before the election, then afterward everyone kind of finds out it's not real. Now, of course, since the beginning of all this, the Democrats have known there was no chance of this getting through the courts. It's obviously unconstitutional. And if this was the thing, it would be a fascinating thing. Could a president go through and just like relieve all, let's say, tax debt for an entire population? Could they do that? I guess under this circumstance, sure, why not? It's under the HEROES Act, everybody. We're in a national emergency. Just a bunch of crap. They knew it was crap from the beginning. They told people what they wanted to hear. The media parroted it. And some amount of people were excited by this and probably went to the polls and cast their vote based on the fact that they were going to get this money back. Now, of course, they knew the second we got past the election, the courts would strike it down and it would go away and they wouldn't get their money. Now, you might say, well, that's really egregious. That is it's almost a tad cynical in a way. But that's not all they did. In fact, they've gone a step farther now. Now they are sending letters to people telling them they've been approved, even though they all know this is going to be going away very, very soon. They've admitted themselves. Nancy Pelosi said themselves. Biden's own Department of Education said they can't just do this on their own. They have to go through Congress. Well, they did it anyway, and now they're sending letters to people. So picture yourself in this position. You need some debt relief. You want $10,000 or $20,000 back. You're excited about getting $10,000 or $20,000 back. And then the courts block it, and you're like, whoa, what's going to happen? Then they send you a letter that says you're approved. I'm so sorry, though, that we have to see what's going on with the courts. And then, of course, instead of you being incompetent and lying to your people, you're not seen that way. The media instead promotes it as the Republican courts shot it down. These evil bastards, all they wanted to do was give you back $10,000 or $20,000, but it was Republicans' fault. All of this is a cynical ploy. And if you're thinking, well, what about they're causing pain to these people who want this money and they think they have it and then the rug's going to get pulled out from under them. Why would they do that? Why would they cause this pain? And you have to understand the pain is the point. It's the central thought in their minds when they do something like this. They want people who are on the verge of bankruptcy, who are having economic trouble, who really need that relief from the $10,000 to feel as if they were going to get it and have the rug pulled out under them. And they want them hitting their head as hard as possible so that they can use the pain that those people have to blame Democrats. Why? So that they can have more power. That is what is going on. This is not going to stand. The courts are going to shoot this down. Unless everybody in the Supreme Court goes insane and takes crazy pills one day, we will see how that goes. Also, Congress is doing some important work. No, they're not doing anything on student debt, which they shouldn't be, just, you know, getting rid of student debt, but they're not passing anything on that. Instead, they're going to hold a hearing on Ticketmaster because people couldn't get their Taylor Swift concert tickets. That's really what they're doing. Taylor Swift concert tickets on the docket. Good job, guys. No, seriously, there's nothing else going on. You should definitely worry about how much people are paying for Tay-Tay tickets. That's exactly the central thing you should be doing with your time. And before we leave, we have another episode of Everything is Racist.
Everything is racist. Every thought you have is a KKK dream. Everything is racist. White supremacist extreme.
Now, if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, you may have stopped at a wonderful place. Everyone seems to love it. And you're not going to be able to find it anymore. I'm so sorry. See, the thing is, if you were going to Indian Garden, a very famous part, a stop along the park's Bright Angel Trail, that is offensive. You see, it's racist to call it Indian Garden for reasons. So instead, they're going to change it to Havasupai Gardens, which I guess Havasupai are the tribe that had been there for generations. And so they're going to name it Havasupai Gardens. Now, look, is it a more accurate name? May very well be. Were the Havasupai people really all this fired up and say, I can't believe you will not call that Havasupai Gardens? Maybe they were. Maybe they were upset. I mean, there's been other things they could probably be more upset about than the naming of a trail. But maybe they're upset about that stuff, too. All I'm saying is, it doesn't matter anymore whether the thing is blatantly racist, an actual slur, something that's even intended to be negative. We saw with the Redskins naming process, a name that was absolutely, with all evidence, remember, the coach was Native American at the time. Everybody was there to honor Native Americans, and they called them the Redskins, and now that's a slur, and that name's gone. And then they replaced it with football team, and that name's gone. And then Commanders? I mean, the bad guys from Handmaid's Tale are now a team name. That's how this works. Look, nothing is sensible, nothing is sane, but everything is always racist.
Everything is racist. Every thought you have is a KKK dream. Everything is racist. White supremacist extreme.
Earlier, we talked to Pat Gray about Nancy Pelosi partially, and I got to tell you that Nancy Pelosi Sucks pens still available. They're in stock right now. We have a special discount going on to celebrate Nancy Pelosi getting out of our lives for the most part. NancyPelosiSucksPen.com, now 25% off with the code BYENANCY, B-Y-E, Nancy. See you later. Bye-bye. Bye, Nancy, is the code. 25% off at NancyPelosiSucksPen.com. We also have the Power Hour going on. That is December 9th, Friday. You can be here in studio. Friday, December 9th, go to StuDoesPowerHour.com, and you can get on the list there. And tomorrow, we're going to be doing a special election Q&A on YouTube, YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Go there now, follow the show, click the bell. You'll get alerted when we go on tomorrow, right after the radio program, and answer your questions on the election or whatever else. We'll see you tomorrow.